Today we are reading from the first canto, chapter 13, Dhritarashtra quits home, and we are very fortunate to be able to read and relish the qualities of Vidura. So this chapter is about Vidura, as I had explained in my email that I had sent out to all of you. And this chapter talks about how Dhritarashtra, he was an old man, but in spite of being such an old man, he was still sitting in the house and enjoying the riches. After the battle of Kurukshetra. So Yudhishthir was taking care of him. But, you know, the culture of that time, which now we don't, like now we don't see that culture anymore. The culture of that, nowadays the culture is that an 88-year-old man gets married to his mistress. N.D. Tiwari, one of the politicians in India, I just saw the news item. He got married to his mistress. So that is the culture going on right now. But the culture in that time was that like some old man sitting at home and still enjoying the opulences of household life and not focusing on going back to Godhead, not renouncing all those worldly afflictions, was considered to be a very embarrassing. It was very embarrassing for somebody to do that. So here, yeah, Dhritarashtra, because he's still attached to the kingdom and everything, he is still in the palace. And Vidura was insulted by Duryodhan very badly. And so he left the palace. So he did not participate. Like basically Duryodhana asked him to get out. So Vidura did not participate in the battle of Kurukshetra. And there were inner reasons also on why Vidura did not participate. It was not that he felt insulted and he ran away. He is not like us, that somebody insults us and we leave the service and go away. That was not Vidura's mood. But basically Vidura took that opportunity to go deeper into his surrender and relationship with Krishna. So after 30-35 years of wandering around the different, holy places and the different pilgrimage sites and taking darshan of all the different forms of the Lord, the deity forms of the Lord, which were there even then. When Vidura, once he comes to know through the news around him that the battle of Kurukshetra has been fought and the entire Yadu dynasty has been this thing and also the Kauravas are gone, so then he thinks it's time to go back home and to give some good sense to Dhritarashtra, because Dhritarashtra is still attached. So this is Vidura's compassion. This is his preaching. This is his compassion. Where in spite of being insulted, in spite of being ridiculed, in spite of not being, you know, because when Duryodhana was insulting Vidura, Dhritarashtra did not speak up. He didn't speak up as much as he should have. So that itself was like he was allowing his son to insult, right? And Vidura had such a strong relationship with Dhritarashtra. But in spite of all that, Vidura comes back after 30 to 35 years of being a pilgrim, after being instructed by Maitreya Rishi, and also after taking darshan on so many forms of the Lord and, you know, really being like a pilgrim. He comes back, and because his own intellect and his own spiritual surrender has been very sharpened by all the realizations he has got in the last 30-35 years. He is already a pure devotee of the Lord. But because of all the austerities he has done, and he goes for the pilgrimage also because he feels that by being a counsel to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana and being constantly in their association, he has been contaminated. So, you know, one may think, why did Vidura leave at that time? He shouldn't have left because Krishna was there and Vidura is a great devotee of Lord Krishna. So why did Vidura leave Krishna and go away? You know, because he could have been with Krishna, got darshan of Krishna all the time, but Vidura was so humble, he felt he was not qualified, and he felt he had to rid himself of that contamination. So he uses that very difficult insult of Duryodhan, you know, which will be difficult for us because we have a false ego. But because Vidura is a pure devotee of the Lord, he uses that opportunity to go deeper into his surrender to the Lord. So Vidura gets completely, so to speak, I mean, he's already purified, but he does all those austerities to purify himself from the contamination of the association of Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan for so many years, and to sharpen his own realization and to visit the holy places and to learn from Maitreya Rishi, the great devotee of the Lord, very elevated, right? So after going through all of that, he comes back home. Now he is not, again one may ask, why is Vidura coming back home? Because he is already so self-realized and everything, he doesn't need to come back home. Like how we go for yatras, at least for me, when I'm in the yatra, I'm thinking, okay, now when will I go back home and be calm and peaceful and relaxed and, you know, sleep properly and, you know, have all the comforts that I need in my life. right? So Vidura is on this 30-35 years yatra, not, and he's not coming back to, okay, I need to come back to my house and now I'm an old man, so I need all these comforts. No, his only purpose of coming back is to deliver Dhritarashtra. So in this chapter, we will read about how Vidura comes back, how he is welcomed by Yudhishthir Maharaj, and how Vidura is aware that the Yadu dynasty has been completely wiped out, but he still does not tell that to Yudhishthir because he feels that, you know, they will feel great separation from Lord Krishna. So, you know, he, truth is something that is palatable, so he doesn't say anything about that. And then how later in the chapter he, out of real compassion and being a real friend of Dhritarashtra, he shakes him out of his complacency. And then how Dhritarashtra and Gandhari quit home, and how they quit this particular lifetime, their time in this particular body also, very, very gracefully through the path of yoga. So let's read this today. I'm very excited. So as Rohini Priya Prabhu said, we will glorify Vidura, like we are getting a chance. So we glorify devotees, not just because they're supposed to glorify and all that, but because we really are relishing these qualities and we are thinking, wow, I'm so fortunate to be able to read about such a great devotee and his qualities. Or when we are glorifying a person who is amidst us, then we must actually feel, I'm so fortunate to know this person and have their association. So let's glorify Vidura in this mood. So, first canto, chapter 13, text 1, Dhritarashtra quits home. The link is there in my email. Suta Uvacha Vidurastirthayatrayam Maitriyad Atmanogatim ज्ञात्वा गाधास्तिनापुरम् तया वाप्ता विवित्सितः. श्री सुत गोस्वामी सेड, व्हाइल ट्रैवलिंग ऑन अ पिलग्रिमेज, विदुरा रिसीव्ड नॉलेज ऑफ द डेस्टिनेशन ऑफ द सेल्फ फ्रॉम द ग्रेट सेज मैत्रेया एंड देन रिटर्न टू हस्तिनापुर. ही बिकेम एज वेल वर्स्ड इन द सब्जेक्ट एज ही डिजायर्ड. सो व्हेन विदुरा लेफ्ट फॉर द पिलग्रिमेज, देन ही मेट मैत्रेय ऋषि, एंड मैत्रेय ऋषि and Uddhava have just been instructed by Lord Sri Krishna himself before he leaves the planet. So the Lord arranges in such a way because he knows Vidura is going to come. So therefore he instructs both of them so that Vidura can get the direct message from Lord Sri Krishna himself. So Vidura feels very happy. Wow, the Lord thought about me just before leaving. Like that. So all this is described in the third canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So when we get there, we will go into more details in this topic. But I will try to speak as much as I recollect from that. So here Vidura receives the knowledge, and then we will read the purport about Vidura's qualities because it's a very nice thing. So can somebody please read? Because I've lost my voice a little bit. Yes, go ahead, Sangeeta.
One of the prominent figures in the history of the Mahabharata. He was conceived by Vyasadeva in the womb of the maidservant of Ambika, mother of Maharaj Pandu. He is the incarnation of Yamaraj. Being cursed by Mandaka Muni, he was to become a Shudra. The story is narrated as follows. Once upon a time, the stage police caught some thieves who had concealed themselves in the hermitage of Mandaka Muni. The police constables, as usual, arrested all the thieves and Mandaka Muni along with them. The magistrate specifically punished the Muni to death by being pierced with a lance. When he was just to be pierced, the news reached the king, and he at once stopped the act on consideration of his being the great Muni. The king personally begged the Muni's pardon for the mistake of his men, and the saint at once went to Yamaraj, who prescribed the destiny of the living being. Yamaraj, being questioned by the Muni, replied that the Muni is childless, pierced an ant with a sharpened straw, and for that reason he was put into difficulty. The Muni thought it unwise on the part of Yamaraj that he was punished for his childish innocence, and thus the Muni cursed Yamaraj to become a Shudra. And this Shudra incarnation of Yamaraj was known as Vidura, the Shudra brother of Dhritarashtra and Maharaj Pandu. But the Shudra son of the Kuru dynasty was equally treated by Bhishma Dev along with his other nephews, and in due called Vidura was married with a girl who was also born in the womb of a Manchakandi. But the Sudra, son of the Kuru dynasty, was equally treated by Bhishma Dev along with his other nephews. And in due course, Vidura was married with a girl who was also born in the womb of a Shudrani by a Brahmana. Although Vidura did not inherit the property of his father, the brother of Bhishma Dev, still he was given sufficient state property by Dhritarashtra, the elder brother of Vidura. Vidura was very much attached to his elder brother, and all along he tried to guide him on the right path. During the prestige war of Kurukshetra, Vidura repeatedly implored his elder brother to do justice to the sons of Pandu, but Duryodhana did not like such interference by his uncle, and thus he practically insulted Vidura. This resulted in Vidura's leaving her for pilgrimage and taking instructions from Maitreya.
Thank you for reading. So we already discussed most of these things, but yes, so one more point that is coming out is that Vidura is an incarnation of Yamaraj. And why did Yamaraj come? We already read in this particular story. Now that is the external reason, that he was cursed and then he came and like that. But the internal reason was that Yamaraj was not happy that he was only doing this very difficult service of punishing the living entities according to the laws of material nature. And he also wanted to have the association of the Lord. He also wanted to be with the devotees of the Lord. He also wanted to hear about the pastimes of the Lord, see about the pastimes of the Lord, go on pilgrimage. So therefore, this particular arrangement happens so that Yamaraj can come as Vidura. And then Vidura gets to, like, and then thus he can fulfill this desire of being completely immersed in the Lord. Lord's glories and association. So text 2. So anyway, one more thing I want to say. So Duryodhana insulting Vidura was just the external reason of Vidura leaving the palace. Actually, the inner reason was that Vidura, one thing, he did not want to participate in the battle because it was not dharmic. That is what is given in the Mahabharata. And the second reason was that he wanted to go to all the holy places. And he wanted to go deeper in his contemplation about the Lord. The third thing was that he was going to get instructions from Maitreya Rishi. And the fourth thing was that he wanted to get rid of the contamination of the association that he had got from Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. So now one may think that why the Lord was there, but why he had to leave. But the point is, as Prabhupada explains in the third canto, he says that a devotee is eagerly searching for Krishna is as good as seeing him personally. So this is again said in the third canto, first chapter, which is about Vidura. So that time also the same question is asked, why is Vidura leaving? Right? Sukadeva Goswami is telling in such a way. So the point is that even if he left the physical association, but because he was going deeper and deeper in his contemplation about Lord Krishna, he always carried Lord Krishna in his heart. And because he was eagerly searching for Krishna and knowing more about him, that was as good as seeing Krishna personally. Right? So even searching for Krishna is as good as seeing Krishna personally. So text 2. Yavata kridavan prashnan kshattaksha kausharavagrataha jataika bhakti govinde tevyas ko pararamaha choparararaha. After asking various questions and becoming established in the transcendental loving service of Lord Krishna, Vidura retired from putting questions to Maitreya Rishi. Right? So now this question and answer between Vidura and Maitreya Rishi is described in the third and fourth cantos. So as we had discussed in the beginning when we started reading Bhagavatam, that Bhagavatam is conversation between devotees at various levels. At one level, it is conversation between the sages of Nimisharanya and Sudha Goswami. Who is describing the conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj? And who is describing conversation between different personalities? Like say, the third canto and fourth canto, it will come as a conversation, like Parikshit Maharaj is asking questions about Vidura and Sukadeva Goswami is answering them. And the question he is asking about is what are Vidura's activities and what did he learn from Maitreya Rishi? So then Sukadeva Goswami starts describing about what Vidura and Maitreya, what is the conversation? Like that. So if we'll read this purport, it's important. If Sangeeta, can you please read this again? read the second purport also.
Yes.
Also, can you be a little louder, because your voice is a little, little muffled. Your voice is a little muffled. I mean, it's loud but a little muffled.
How is it now? Is it better?
Yeah, a little bit better. Yeah. Yeah.
Just a second. Now, let me raise the volume and do it.
Thank you. So Vidura had everything going for him basically. He had his wealth and everything. But he still had this need for taking deep shelter of Krishna. And therefore he approaches his bona fide spiritual master like Maitreya Rishi and asks him further questions about spiritual life. So we have to also be inquisitive like that. Constantly thinking about, okay, how best can I go back to Godhead? What can I do about it? What is the next step I can take? What qualities I need to develop? What attachments I need to give up? And all this we need guidance from our spiritual master. So the effort has to be there from our side. And the mercy will come from the spiritual master. Text 3 and 4. Tam bandhum agatam drishtva dharma putra sahanuja dhritarashtro yuyutshuscha suta saradavatrita Gandhari Draupadi Dhavman Subhadra Chotara Kripi Anyascha Jamaya Pando Gyataya Shashuta Sriya. Now this translation and purport is very beautiful. It's a little different from the topic that we want to discuss today, but because it's all about powerful women who are deeply situated in Krishna consciousness, we will read this purport also. Shall I read the translation? When they saw Vidura return to the palace, all the inhabitants, Maharaj Yudhishthir, his younger brothers, Dhritarashtra, Satyaki, Sanjaya, Kripacharya, Kunti, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, Uttara, Kripi, many other wives of the Kauravas, and other ladies with children, all hurried to him in great delight. It so appeared that they had regained their consciousness after a long period. So here it says, many other wives of the Kauravas, that means all the women who had become widows of you know, all the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. So Maharaj Yudhishthir was taking care of them also. So that is how the culture was. The women were taken care of very nicely. So in this purport, Prabhupada is explaining about Gandhari, Kunti Devi and Draupadi and Subhadra, So here, all these people, all the Pandavas and everyone, because you know they're missing that particular devotee. Right? They're not seeing that devotee, not seeing Vidura in the palace. And Vidura was the well-wisher of the Pandavas and how much he had done for the Pandavas. Right? So all these devotees, and because they are missing, you know, when you see a devotee, the devotee reminds you of Krishna, so they are all missing Vidura and how much he had done for them. That as soon as they see him, they all get up immediately and they hie to him in great delight. And it so appeared that they had regained their consciousness after a long period. So they became so happy seeing Vidura, this great devotee of the Lord. They were so attached to Vidura in the right way that they immediately run there. So, maybe we can read this purport. Can someone else read? Because Sangeeta has read two purports already.
Hare Krishna Mataji, I can read.
Yeah, please read this purport.
Can you tell me the number of the purport?
It's the 13th chapter. And
yeah, I'm on the chapter. I just need to know the
is it 3 and 4. So 3 and 4 is together. Yeah, please read the book.
Yeah, okay. The ideal chastity lady, that's the one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The ideal chastity lady in the history of the world, Gandhar, she was the daughter of Maharaj Gandhar. Now, Kandahar in Kabul, and in her maiden state, she worshipped Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is generally worshipped by Hindu maidens to get a good husband. Gandhari satisfied Lord Shiva and by his benediction to obtain 100 sons. She was betrothed to Dhritarashtra, despite his being blind forever. When Gandhari came to know that her would-be husband was a blind man, follow her life companion, she decided to become voluntary once blind. So she wrapped up her eyes with many silk linens and she was married to Dhritarashtra under the guidance of her elder brother Shakuni. She was the most beautiful girl of her time and she was equally qualified by her womanly qualities, which endeared every member of the Kaurava court. But despite all her good qualities, she had the natural frailty of a woman. And she was envious of Kunti when the latter gave birth to a male child. Both the queens were pregnant, but Kunti first gave birth to a male child. Thus, Gandhari became angry and gave a blow to her own abdomen. As a result, she gave birth to a lump of flesh only. But since she was a devotee of Vyasadeva, by instruction of Vyasadeva, the lump was divided into 100 parts, and each part gradually developed to become a male child. Then her ambition to become the mother of 100 sons was fulfilled and she began to nourish all the children according to her exalted position. When the interior of the battle of Kurukshetra was going on, she was not in favor of fighting with Pandavas. Rather, she blamed Dhritarashtra, her husband, for such a war. She desired that the state be divided into two parts for the sons of Pandu and her own. She was very affected when all her sons died in the Battle of Kurukshetra, and she wanted to purge Bhimasena and Yudhishthira, but she was checked by Vyasadeva. For mourning over the death of Duryodhan and Dushyanta, before Lord Krishna was very pitiful, and Lord Krishna pacified her by transcendental messages. She was equally aggrieved on the death of Karna, and she described to Lord Krishna the lamentation of Karna's life. She was pacified by Srila Vyasadeva when he showed her dead son, then promoted to the heavenly kingdom. She died along with her husband in the jungles of Himalayas near the mouth of Ganges. She burned in a forest fire. Maharaj Yudhishthira performed the death ceremony of his uncle and aunt. You want to read the next one?
Yeah, just 1 minute. I want to say two things here about Gandhari. So, I heard in her lecture she only made this like two mistakes were there. One thing is she became envious of Kunti. Because of that one mistake, like she had to suffer so much. And then the second mistake was she supported Duryodhan. And she gave him some powers so that he could win the battle from Bhima, something like that. So, but otherwise she was a woman of great qualities. And when Draupadi was disrobed in the palace, in the assembly of the Kurus, at that time she was so disturbed that, and she knew that, you know, all bad things will come now because they have insulted a woman, that she herself started leading a life of an ascetic and was doing many austerities so that she was to counteract the curse. So she was a lady of values and she knew a lot of this thing. But as Prabhupada says, the natural frailties of a woman, like woman, you know, she became a little bit envious of Kunti Devi, or she also wanted, you know, the good thing for her son. But she was constantly trying to guide Dhritarashtra and she was constantly trying to tell Duryodhana, don't fight. Even when Lord Krishna came to discuss truce with Duryodhana, he didn't listen to him. Like there is this entire chapter in Mahabharata that describes that thing. And almost Lord Krishna was insulted. So at that time also she told Duryodhana, you are insulting Lord Krishna, there is no future for you. If you are not able to respect the Lord properly, then what is the use of what any future will you have? So she was a woman of good qualities. And there are things we can learn from her. Yes, please read the next one. Pritha.
Pritha, daughter of
Can I just have one question?
Who is speaking?
Yeah, so there were the five special women, right? With Adore. Is Gandhari one of them?
I am not sure about that.
Okay.
Does anyone know? I mean, my
husband was one right?
Yeah, but I don't know if it is Gandhari also is there in that or not. I don't know the list of those five women. Maybe we can look it up and discuss next week. But nice question. Thank you for speaking. Yes, Shweta, go ahead.
Okay. Krishna, daughter of Maharaj Sulsena and sister of Vasudeva, Lord Krishna's father. Later she was adopted by Maharaj Kunti Bhoja and hence she is known as Kunti. She is the incarnation of the substance potency of the personality of Godhead. The heavenly denizens from the upper planet used to visit the palace of King Kunti Bhoja and Kunti was engaged for their reception. She also served the great mystic sage Durvasa, and being satisfied by her faithful service, Durvasa Muni gave her a mantra by which it was possible for her to call for any demigod as she pleased. As a matter of inquisitiveness, she at once called for the sun god, who desired complement with her, but she declined. But the sun god assured her immunity from adulteration, and so she agreed to his proposal. As a result of this couplement, she became pregnant and Karna was born by her. By the grace of sun, she again turned into a virgin girl, but being afraid of her parents, she quitted the newly born child Karna. After that, when she actually selected her own husband, she preferred Pandu to be her husband. Maharaj Pandu later wanted to retire from family life and adopt the renounced order of life. Kunti refused to allow her husband to adopt such life, but at last, Maharaj Pandu gave her permission to become a mother of sons by calling some other suitable personalities. Kunti did not accept this proposal at first, but when vivid examples were set by Pandu, she agreed. Thus, by dint of mantra awarded by Durvasa Muni, she called for Dharmaraja, and thus Yudhishthir was born. She called for the demigod Vayu, air, and thus Bhima was born. She called for Indra, the king of heaven, and thus Arjuna was born. The other two sons, namely Nakula and Sadeva, were begotten by Pandu himself in the womb of Mantri. Later on, Maharaj Pandu died at an early age, for which Kunti was aggrieved and that she fainted. Two co-wives, namely Kunti and Mantri, decided that Kunti should live for the maintenance of the five minor children, the Pandavas, and Mantri should accept the Sati rituals by meeting voluntary death along with her husband. This agreement was endorsed by great sages like Sadal Sringa and other peasants on the occasion. Do you want me to read the next one?
Yes.
Later on, when Pandavas were banished from the kingdom by intrusions of Duryodhana, Kunti followed her son, and she equally faced all sorts of difficulties during those days. During the forest life, one demon girl, Hidimba, wanted Bhima and her husband. Bhima refused, but the girl approached Kunti and Yudhishthir. They ordered Bhima to accept her proposal and gave her a son. As a result of this combination, Ghatotkach was born, and he fought very valiantly with his father against Kauravas. In their forest life, they lived with Brahmana family that was in trouble because of one Bakasur demon. And Kunti ordered Bhima to kill Bakasura to protect the Brahmana family against trouble created by demons. She advised Yudhishthira to start for Bakasura. Draupadi was killed in the Pankali Desa by Arjuna, but by order of Kunti, all five of the Pandava brothers became equally the husbands of Panchali. Panchal Desha, okay, on Draupadi. She was married with five Pandavas in the presence of Vyasadeva. Kunti Devi never forgot her first child, Karna, and after Karna's death in the Battle of Kurukshetra, she lamented and admitted before her other sons that Karna was her eldest son prior to her marriage with Maharaj Pandu. Her prayers for the Lord after the Battle of Kurukshetra, when the Lord Lord Krishna was going back home, are excellently explained. Later she went to the forest with Gandhari for a severe penance. She used to take meals after each 30 days. She finally sat down and performed meditation and later burned to ashes in a forest fire.
Yep, thank you for reading about Kunti Devi. So Kunti Devi is a personality we all want to follow in our lives very deeply, and Prabhupada has given a brief sketch so mercifully for all of us. And what I want to bring about here is that all these different women personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam, see, right from Gandhari, or if you find Gandhari's character little iffy because of her envy towards Kunti when she couldn't have the children, but if you look at it, you know, she was married to a man who did not follow the principles of religion properly. And how she remained chaste to him. Then here Kunti Devi is an example of a single mother raising five children on her own, without any wealth and without any support, and with hostile in-laws like Dhritarashtra, who is constantly seeing about how he can be unjust. She has to tolerate the injustice towards her own children. Then she's also, her husband is also married to, you know, another lady. So all these examples of what is happening today in the world, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam, all the women personalities, there is an example for each type of suffering that any woman is going through. But what we want to learn is how these people went through all these sufferings. By taking shelter of Krishna, they were not affected by any of these things. So this is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam, that there is something for each one's consciousness, and we can grow if we see the examples in the proper light. Now we will read about Draupadi. Now Draupadi is a woman about with five husbands, but nobody stands up to protect her. Right? So then what is, then really, you know, imagine her state, and then how she take shelter of Lord Krishna in that situation. That is to tell us everything else that we are looking for in this life is false shelters. The only shelter is Lord Krishna. Like how Kunti Devi, in her entire life, she took shelter of Lord Krishna. It was not that she didn't have, she had so many difficulties. Right? But she took shelter of Lord Krishna. Here Draupadi, in the greatest need, when a woman is being, she is being disrobed, it can be a very traumatic situation. But she takes shelter of Lord Krishna and Lord Krishna protects her. So we have to understand that the real shelter is Lord Krishna. And no matter how hard the people around us, our husbands, mothers, fathers, children, will try to be our shelter, try to protect us, but because they themselves are limited by the material energy, they are limited by their own karma, they are limited by their own capacity to understand and everything, then they, even if they want to, they are not able to provide that shelter to us. Because they themselves are fallible. They themselves are within the control of the three modes of material nature. And they themselves are, covered by this material. They themselves are conditioned. So even if they try, it is going to be difficult. So instead of us beating our head in why the situation is in a certain way, we have to understand this is the nature of the material world. And instead of hating the people who are not standing up for us at the right time, we have to follow the example of these ladies and think that that is part of, you know, the nature of this material world. And I am going to take shelter of Krishna. Because by hating them and by fighting with them or by expecting it out of them, we are just only implicating ourselves more and more. So we have to honor their reality also. Their reality is they are spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna, so they can. This is what they can do. Right? And then there is karma, and then there is material energy, there is time, there is prakriti, there is modes of material energy, so many things that make it difficult for any, even for us to reach out completely to another living entity when they are in suffering. So instead of, we must honor their reality, that they are also spirit souls covered in this material energy, and so am I. They are fallible, I am fallible. So the intelligent person will take shelter of Lord Krishna and not waste time in feeling hurt or affected, right? You have to meet your needs. Okay, if you are feeling lonely or if you are feeling as if you are not protected, our need is to feel protected, our need is to feel connected if you are feeling lonely. Then we have to find and seek all those things in Krishna. So this is an art that we want to develop by all the different situations we face in our life. It's easier said than done, but ultimately that is required out of us to go back to Godhead. That understanding that all these things around me that I consider as my shelter is all fallible. And this is the example of these ladies here. That they understand that and they're living their lives in the spiritual conception. So we will read about Draupadi and Shweta, you can read Draupadi and Subhadra and complete the purport. So no need to pause in the middle.
Sure. Draupadi, the most chastity daughter of Maharaj Drupada and partly an incarnation of the goddess Pachi, the wife of Indra. Maharaj Drupada performed a great sacrifice under the superintendence of space Vyaja. By his first offering, Drishta Jumna was born, and by the second offering, Draupadi was born. She is therefore a sister of Rishilunga and she is also named Panchali. The five Pandavas married her as a common wife and each of them begot a son in her. Maharaj Yudhishthira begot a son named Prati Vishvinsena, begot a son named Sundarasoma. Arjuna begot Shrutakirti, Nakula begot Satanika and Sahadeva begot Shrutakarma. She is described as most beautiful lady, equal to her mother-in-law. During her birth, there was an arrow message that she should be called Krishna. The same message also declared that she was born to kill many Kshatriya. By dint of her blessing from Sankara, she was awarded 5 husbands equally qualified. And she was born to select her own husband. Princes and kings were invited from all the countries of the world. She was married to Pandavas during their exile in the forest, but when they went back home, Maharaj Drupada gave them immenseness and dowry. She was well received by all the daughter-in-laws of this Rashtra. When she was lost in Gyanagiri, she was forcibly dragged into the assembly hall and an attempt was made by Dushasan to see her naked beauty, even though there were elderly persons like Bhishma and Drona present. She was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, and by her praying, the Lord himself became unlimited garment to save her from the insult. A demon of the name Jatasuran kidnapped her, but her second husband, Bhishma, killed the demon and saved her. She saved the Pandavas from the curse of Maharshi Durvasa by the grace of Lord Krishna. When the Pandavas lived in Kognito in the palace of Virata, Pichaka was attracted by her beauty, and the arrangement with Bhima, the devil was killed and she was saved. She was very much aggrieved when her 5 sons were killed by Ashwatthama, and the last stage she accompanied her husband Yudhishthira and others and fell on the way. The cause of her falling was explained by Yudhishthira. When she entered the heavenly planet, she saw Draupadi gloriously present there as the goddess of fortune in the heavenly planet. Subhadra, daughter of Vasudeva and sister nature of Lord Krishna. She was not only a very dear daughter of Vasudeva, but also a very dear sister to both Krishna and Baldeva. The two brothers and sisters are represented in the famous Jagannath Castle of Puri, and the temple is still visited by thousands of pilgrims daily. This temple is in the remembrance of the Lord's visit at Kurukshetra during an occasion of solar eclipse, and his subsequent meeting with the residents of Vrindavan. The meeting of Brother Rama and Krishna during this occasion is a very pathetic story, and Lord Chaitanya, in the necessary, in the ecstasy of Radharani, always sinned by Lord Sri Krishna and Jagannath Puri. While Arjuna was at Dwarka, he wanted to have Subhadra as his queen, and he expressed his desire to Lord Krishna. Sri Krishna knew that his elder brother Lord Baldeva was arranging her marriage elsewhere, and since he did not dare to go against the arrangement of Baldev, he advised Arjuna to kidnap Subhadra. So when all of them were on a pleasure trip on the river Sar Hill, Arjuna managed to kidnap Subhadra according to the plan of Sri Krishna. Sri Baldeva was very angry at Arjuna and he wanted to kill him. But Lord Krishna implored his brother to excuse Arjuna. Then Subhadra was duly married to Arjuna and Abhimanyu was born of Subhadra. At the premature death of Abhimanyu, Subhadra was very mortified. But on the birth of Parikshit, she was happy and solid.
Thank you so much, Vita, for reading such a long purport. It was very nice. So here we are also seeing that Subhadra was a woman who lost her son untimely in an unfair way. He was a young son and she lost him. But then how she takes it, and who is Subhadra? She is the Lord's sister. But she also goes through that. But how does she take it? That is the point. That is what we need to learn. That this material world is temporary. So instead of us trying to be attentive to each and everything that is happening to us in the material world, and how it is fair or unfair, or how somebody should behave with us in a certain way and somebody else should not do certain things with us, and you know, our rights and our equal rights and our you know, I'm so and so's wife, so I should be treated in so and so way, or I'm so and so I should be treated in so and so way, or I have so and so wealth, so I should live my life in so and so way. Instead of getting caught up in all of these things, what we want to do is to take shelter of the Lord. And that is the real place of bliss. That is a place where all miseries end. And we are not distracted by the material energy. So that is something to think about and cultivate for each one of us in every situation of our life. In one day we will not become Draupadi. So we have to cultivate that in the different small things that happen in our life. So that we can follow this thing. Alright, text 5. Pratyujagmo praharshena pranam tanvai vagatam avisangamya vidivat parisham vanga bhivadanai. With great delight they all approached him as if life had returned to their bodies. They exchanged obeisances and welcomed each other with embraces. So they are so happy that Vidura was so dear to the members of the Kaurava family that his long absence was comparable to inactivity. All of them were feeling acute separation from Vidura, and therefore his return to the palace was joyful for all. Then, text 6. Mumuchu prema bashpaugham virahauta kantya katala rajatam arhayam chakre kritasana parigraham. Due to anxieties and long separation, we all cried out of affection. King Yudhishthir then arranged to offer sitting accommodations and a reception. So that's the duties of the king. They're so happy. And then the Yudhishthir Maharaj wants to offer proper reception according to the age of Vidura, his position, and also according to the love and respect that they had for Vidura. Text 7. Tam buktavantam vishrantam asinam sukham asane prashrayavanato raja praha tesham cha shrinvatam. After Vidura ate sumptuously and took sufficient rest, he was comfortably seated. Then the king began to speak to him, and all those who were present there listened. Right? So we have seen how nicely Yudhishthir welcomes everyone, gives proper reception, knows the protocol and everything. When Lord Krishna is coming, Lord Krishna is leaving, then how he is taking care of Dhritarashtra, how he is taking care of Vidura. He knows everything properly. So after Vidura has rested and everything is taken rest, then the king is sitting down and he wants to ask Vidura how he is, because they have not seen him in 30 to 35 years. So they want to know how he is doing, how was his pilgrimage, what was the essence of the pilgrimage, right? They want to do all those things. And Prabhupada in the purport, he explains about how, according to our moral codes, even an enemy received at home should be so well received that he will not feel any fearful situation. So what to speak of our own family members? And later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in one of the purports, one of the verses actually says that if we look at the guests who come in our house with evil eyes, we don't give them food properly, or we don't serve them properly, or we make them feel as if they should leave soon, then that is a sin that we incur. So the verse is very harsh, very, very tough. I don't want to say all the details that it says about what result we will get if we don't take care of our guests properly. But that's something, I think it's in the culture for all of us. So what we need to do is we have to train our children so that they learn the proper art of receiving guests. When the guests come, they should know how to welcome the guests, offer water, offer them a sitting place, offer them kind words, take care of their needs. We must train our children, because when we were growing up, we were doing those things in our homes. So we have to train our children. Otherwise, the children here are there, in their own world. So we have to teach them all these things also. It is not that automatically they will start doing. They have to be taught these moral codes. Right? Text 8. Yudhishthira uvacha apismarathano yushmat pakshachaya samevitan vipadgana dvishagne dair mochitaya samatkriya samatrakah. Maharaj Yudhishthira said, "My uncle, do you remember how you always protected us, along with our mother, from all sorts of calamities? Your partiality, like the wings of the bird, saved us from poisoning and arson." So see, the first thing Yudhishthira is not, see, otherwise some guest comes to our home, we think, why he came? He was out for 30-35 years. Now I have to take this person's responsibility also. Why are they staying in my house? Right? So here Yudhishthira Maharaj's first thing he is expressing is his gratitude. That is the way of great devotees and great personalities, that he is so grateful for all that he had received from Yudhishthira Maharaj. And here he is telling, you were partial to us, but actually Vidura was not, whatever Vidura did was according to codes of religion, so it was not that he was partial. And another thing is, there was some family relationship also. So Vidura's sister was, I think she was Rohini Devi. And she was married to Vasudev. She was mother of Lord Balram. And Kunti Devi was Vasudev's sister, who was married to Vidura's elder brother. So now, since Vidura was so related with Vasudev, so then according to the village relationships and like that, if they are related to Vasudev like that, then Vasudev's younger sister is also considered as Vidura's younger sister. So therefore he felt responsible towards Kunti Devi, because of his relationship with Vasudev. So therefore he used to take care of them. And also Vidura was a Mahatma, right? So he was not siding unnecessarily. He was speaking that according to the codes of religion they were telling what needs to be done, what does not need to be done. And Vidura had so many times, talked to Dhritarashtra, talked to Duryodhan, but nobody listened. And then when the Lakshagra, when the house of lakh was going to be set up with poisoning, and also when the house of lakh was set up and then there was a plan to burn the Pandavas, it was Vidur who sent a very cryptic message to the Pandavas so that they could understand that they need to dig a tunnel and get out of that house, because there will be a fire very soon, like that. So the purport is fully about, what all Vidura did for the Pandavas. So something you all can read at your own time. You must read, actually. If I tell you all you read this purport, then you must read that purport. Because if you don't read it, then you miss it. So you must read that purport, right? So next verse. Kaya vityavartitam vas charadhikshiti mandalam tirthani kshetra mukhyani sevitani habhutale. While traveling on the surface of the earth, how did you maintain your livelihood? At which holy places and pilgrimage sites did you render service? Right? See, here Vidura was insulted by Duryodhan as a son of a Shudrani and so many things. But here, this thing was how, but here look at how Yudhishthir is offering respect. And he's asking, where all did you travel? What all did you do? How did you maintain yourself? You know, somebody was concerned. Text 10. Bhavadvidha bhagavata stirtha bhuta swayam vibho tirthi kurvanti tirthani swantastena gadabrita. I'll chant this verse 3 more times. It's a very, very beautiful and important verse. So it's just so beautiful. I'll chant it 3 more times and you should try to chant with me, and if you can, memorize this verse. Bhavadvidha bhagavata stirtha bhuta swayam vibho tirthi kurvanti tirthani swantastena gadavrita. Bhavadvidha bhagavata stirtha bhuta swayam vibho tirthi kurvanti tirthani swantastena gadavrita. Bhavadvidha bhagavata stirtha bhuta swayam vibho tirthi kurvanti tirthani swantastena gadavrita. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. So here, because wherever, you know, Vidura is, Yudhishthira Maharaj is telling, I'm asking you about the holy places. But he's telling that you yourself, oh Vidura, are like a holy place. Because the Lord is constantly in your heart. So wherever you go, it becomes a place of pilgrimage, and you yourself are a place of pilgrimage. Right? So this purport is a very nice explanation of, you know, about the pure devotees and how we must associate with them and how we must think about them. So we'll read this purport and we'll end for today. And also, the same thing is said, right, that when I was telling you all in the third canto, second, third verse, it is Vidura is leaving. Why did he leave? When Lord Krishna was there. No, but because he was carrying Krishna in his heart, you know, he was always with Krishna. And then also I read that Prabhupada's line, which I can read again. Prabhupada says, because see, Vidura was really, he wanted to go deeper in his relationship with the Lord. So when he was traveling in all the holy places, so one thing, he was getting darshan of all the archa vigrahas of the Lord. And the second thing was that because he was contemplating the Lord and searching after the Lord in each and every situation, he was, the Lord was in his heart. So Prabhupada says, but a devotee is eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as seeing him personally. So we want to understand this thing about pure devotees. When we meet devotees, we have to understand that they are carrying the Lord in the heart. So therefore they are holy places personified. So just like we don't do dham aprad. See, there are some rules and regulations that we should follow to protect our own consciousness when we go to the dhams. That we don't offend the dhamvasis, we don't insult them, we don't pick up a quarrel with them. We remain respectful to them. We don't spit, we don't criticize, we don't do, you know, sexual activities. All those different rules are there. So when we are dealing with devotees, because the devotees themselves are holy places personified, because they're carrying the Lord in their heart, we have to be very careful how we deal with them. We don't want to commit offenses because they are carrying, the Lord is in their heart. So we don't want to offend them. Can someone please read this purport and then we will end for today? Yes, go ahead. It wasn't like that clear, but I think we would understand.
Okay. Is it clear now?
Yeah, it's more clear than before.
Okay, I get it. I must not have been clear. I'm so sorry about that. You should have talked to me in that case.
No, it's okay. I mean, we could understand what you were speaking.
Okay. The personality of Godhead is omnipresent by his diverse potencies everywhere. But, just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unalloyed devotees, like Vidura. Just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb. A pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being.
by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord and the loyal devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places. Take lessons from them. Try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take a bath in the Ganges or Yamuna, or to visit the temple situated in those places. One should also find representatives of Vidura who have no desire in life state and accept to in Vidura who have no desire in life save and accept to serve the personality of God. Got it. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any change of creative action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing, and write of the glories of the Lord. Mahamuni Vyasadeva heard from Narada and then he chanted his IP. Sukadeva Goswami studied from his father and he described it to Parikshit. That is the way of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, by their actions, the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage, and the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Such pure devotees are able to rectify the polluted atmosphere of any place, and what you think of a holy place rendered unholy by the questionable actions of interested persons who try to adopt a professional life at the cost of the reputation of a holy place. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada brings about another beautiful point that we must take association of such persons and learn from them. So very beautiful, very nice to have been able to relish the qualities of Vidura and read with all of you. So next week we will continue reading text 11 onwards, and after Vidura answers all the questions that have been put up by, you know, all the friendly conversations that happen, and he satisfies the need for, you know, everyone to have a Vidura's association. Then he goes and he speaks to Dhritarashtra, because actually he is not here to get some nice, you know, feelings of love and all those things. He's beyond all that. He doesn't have those needs. He's situated in his spiritual conception. So he's not here to satisfy his needs out of his family members. He is here to deliver Dhritarashtra, and he does it amazingly. So we will read that. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. God Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.